Okie dokie. Today is March 8th, 2024. We're going to go a cappella today. We're going to go another week without music, I think. I think the other week didn't have that much music, if at all. And today we are locked in. We're going to be successful this week. You know, today is Friday as I'm recording this beer. We're listening to this on Monday. Friday, at the time of this recording at 12:32 p.m., the market is very, very red. Intel is down 4%. ARM is down 6%. Broadcom is down 6%. We have AMD down 1%. NVIDIA down 4%. Dude, NVIDIA was trading at, what is this number? What is this crazy number here? NVIDIA was at $972.10 this morning. And then it reached a low of $869 sometime like early this morning as well, around 10. So in about like 3 hours worth of time since the market opened, NVIDIA dropped $100. And with that, I think a lot of people that have been enjoying this rocket ship upwards with NVIDIA and AMD and ARM and any of these like semiconductor companies, people found out today about possible holes in their strategy. I'd say that if I had to take a guess, today taught a lot of people about why zero DTE or zero date to expiration contracts are so dangerous, especially for those that, you know, woke up today, saw NVIDIA at 970, a new all-time high, and thought for sure, you know, this is gonna reach $1,000, maybe even go over. Why don't I buy the, I don't know, zero DTE or the same day expiring 1,000 calls on NVIDIA? And, you know, these are kind of cheap, I don't know, so I'm gonna go ahead and buy 10 of them, and then instantly it becomes like a $10,000 loss. And because you think the market's rigged, because now, you know, NVIDIA corrected on the day that you decided to buy calls, it's just not a good feedback loop. I think also today it's hurt a lot of people that might just be overexposed, in terms of just maybe you get too accustomed to NVIDIA or AMD going up and buying calls has been working very well for you. This could have been the week where you bought more calls than usual because you thought that NVIDIA would cross 1,000 this week and it didn't happen. And now you might be sweating because you're sitting on a possibly red position. This, of course, isn't just talking about the long side. You could have easily just sold too many put credit spreads. You could have sold too many short iron condors. You could have sold too many short strangles, cash secured puts. Too much of anything is bad. And market days like this today are pretty good for you as someone that is overexposed, because I don't think it's gone terribly down too much. But it's gone down enough where it should have lit up some lights in your system, in your engine, and that you should check on some of the rules or systems that you have in place. At the end of the day, if you, for example, you know, did buy very responsible calls, maybe you bought calls that were deeper in the money, so you have a good cushion, or maybe you sold cash secured puts that are pretty far out the money. Both of those strategies right now would be definitely losing with NVIDIA or the market being down as it is today. But of course, this isn't like a COVID level crash. Circuit breakers aren't firing off, nothing crazy out of the norm. NVIDIA has gone up so much over the last few weeks or few months now. So if you feel like you are sweating, or if that you are worried about your position, okay, I don't want you to overinflate sweating either. I don't want you to detach from that word because maybe you find a negative connotation to it, so I won't use that actually. I'll just say, if you feel at all worried about your position, it could mean that you are overexposed. Your position is too big. Imagine the inverse of that, a very big counterexample, or in this case, small, pun intended. Instead of spending $88,000 or $88,000 on an NVIDIA cash secured put that you could barely afford, imagine if you just spent $4,000 on an Intel wheel. Okay, of course, two totally different companies, both semiconductors, but one is in a league of its own and one's the other one. But just looking at the dollar value, it's much easier to care less about the $4,000 position and working on that dollar cost average versus in like a stock that's maybe like 40 times more expensive. You know, that's being a little dramatic there, but Nvidia is a lot more expensive than Intel. And if Nvidia goes down 4% today, maybe 3% on Monday, it's going to make you feel some type of way. It's going to make you feel maybe worried, maybe nervous, maybe sad. And that's where these emotions start to play in. Oh, you know, I sold these puts and I thought just maybe, you know, I'm down to pick up these shares at this price. This sounds good. This price will never happen anyway. I opened up this cash secure put, no problem. And then you get into a scenario like today where it literally went from 970 down to 870, almost $100 off per share. And then now suddenly you're like, oh, this is possible. So just be aware of how you're feeling these days. Maybe if you're just got caught in the red wave today, maybe your positions are red and you're starting to sweat, let that be an early indicator that your position just might be too large. Giving a very brief update on where I am on my main account. Yesterday, before today's red day, my profit loss for my main account crossed 40K. Today, I'm down about 4K on the main account, and my profit loss year to date is at 36K on a 300K portfolio. My net liquid is about like 335, 336 right now. And so that puts me at about, 335 divided by 300. I'm at a 11.6% gain for the year. Still beating the market despite being 4.5K down today. And yesterday as well, we crossed over the $7,000 threshold on the Robinhood 5K challenge account. So that's grown quite a bit. Year to date, it is up 15.14%. And since last November, it is up 38.17%. And of course, that's not off of like one lucky trade. If you want to stop by the Twitch stream, and you want to come check out me trading the 5K account, which is now at 6.9K. Nice. You can go to twitch.tv/realthetagang. I also trade there my main account, my 300K portfolio. That's up 36K year to date so far, beating the market with 11. Again, just doing that one more time, to 36 divided by 300. 11.6% or 12%, somewhere around there, somewhere in between those two numbers. You know, one of the biggest tips I can give for trading the smaller account would include, you know, put credit spreads still continue to win. I've only been doing put credit spreads for the month of March, and those have been doing pretty good. Another cool play that I've been doing is running a wheel on Intel. Intel is a pretty cool company. It's lagging behind the semis because, of course, they're behind on the tech and market share is shifting, all that scary stuff. But in terms of a, you know, responsible stock to wheel under 5K, you know, I'm really pushing the boundary of spending $4,300 in buying power, essentially running one wheel, definitely breaking a rule. But this is 5K territory, and you know, rules in 5K should be a little bit different than the main account. Because normally, I suggest when you run a wheel that you have enough capital in the account to run it three times. So you can run, in case of, for example, if Intel goes down about, you know, 10%, and I collect the premium from the cover call, and you know, no longer makes sense to sell a cover call because it's so far out the money now, I'm kind of screwed. Of course, I'm just hoping to dodge the minus 10% loss on a sharp movement downwards by Intel. I think it could happen. Is it likely? Probably not. So I'm willing to take the risk here and collect the premiums running the wheel on it till then. But otherwise, yeah, if the stock were to drop 10%, ideally, you know, I'd have like 8K more in capital so I could buy another 100 shares when it's down 10%, and then maybe another 100 shares when it's down a further 10%. And then my cost basis of 300 shares would be really decent because I had bought in as it went down, you know, 10%, 10%, and then be able to sell covered calls that continue to make sense. But if you run one wheel and that wheel goes down considerably and your cover call no longer makes sense to write, you're kind of stuck unless if you want to dollar cost average more, which again includes more money, or you write another cash secured put that requires more money, both of which you need more money to do. If you're all in on one wheel, days like today where it's really red will feel really bad because you will feel stuck. And personally for me, when I feel stuck, that's when I make the worst decision. So I absolutely make sure I set myself up for success and get in positions and manage my positions in a way where I don't feel stuck at on the very last day or up until assignment. I'm definitely just more mindful that I don't get into any like bad spot. And doing that, it's me managing, doing the boring stuff like closing my cover calls for a profit, moving the strikes down, or you know, dollar cost averaging on the scarier days. Maybe you know, closing out cash secured puts that are green but quite haven't hit the 50% trigger. Doing all of these like small micro adjustments that again I do live on twitch.tv/realthetagang every morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. All right, and for today's topic, I wanted to pick another question from our Theta Gang, a subreddit based on like the Theta Gang sort of style of trading, cash secured puts, cover calls, strangles, that sort of stuff, just selling options in general. Someone mentions a post or posted a post called Selling in the Money Cover Calls on Earnings. I think the longtime listeners of the podcast know my thoughts about earnings and how I think they're incredibly dangerous and that you shouldn't play earnings if you want it to make money. You should play earnings if you want to have fun. But that doesn't cover everything, right? What if you own shares of a company? Maybe you have 100 shares of NVIDIA because you just love NVIDIA and NVIDIA has earnings, right? Like Junie, you said that earnings are dangerous. So should I just always do nothing? Honestly, sometimes it's yes. You know, you think about the times you go on Wall Street Bets, you go on our Theta Gang, you go on our options, you go on our personal finance. You see all of these screenshots from like Schwab or TD Ameritrade, you know, these very old accounts that have cost bases of people picking up like NVIDIA for like $7 a share, you know, and it's worth $1 million now. They probably never sold a covered call on it this entire time. And while a lot of those gains, you know, probably aren't realistically supposed to happen, you know, anymore, it does give merit to, you know, the fact that you don't have to overmanage your long stock position. So number one is if you have a long stock position that is already doing well and it's just sitting there, you could try to min-max and you could start to try to manage it and open cover calls during earnings times and all that good stuff. I think the main piece of advice I'd give you there is if you write a covered call on something, you got to assume that's going to be called away. So for example, one of the best things about a long stock position that you bought really cheap is that you haven't realized the gains on it yet and you're not taxed on it yet. Another great part of it is, especially if you've held on to it for a while, maybe more than a year, you get taxed differently there as well. So while my strategy of, you know, doing covered calls and cash secured puts and getting assigned all the time is great, I mean, I'm being in the market, I'm also in the short-term tax bracket rule thing. So like I get taxed more on my trades versus someone that just sits there and does sort of like nothing. So, I mean, that's definitely an oversimplification, but that's just one of the things that I want you to consider because I understand that there's a percentage of people that are on the older side that listen to this podcast. Hello, I recognize you guys. And you might have a whole bunch of shares just sitting there and you might learn on the internet somewhere that, hey, covered calls exist. I think covered calls for an active trader that wants to get in this sort of trading style is great. I mean, it works for me. So, you know, why wouldn't I think it's a good idea for people that want to trade like me if it works for me? But if this is something totally new and, you know, you just found out about covered calls and you have an amazing cost basis on a lot of these stocks, I think it might be overzealous to sort of call the top on some of these stocks, and then all of a sudden start selling cover calls where you get assigned, and then you kind of force yourself to have to learn on how to re-enter trades. And while that could be really fun for like a smaller account or someone that's really active in trading, but you can imagine that if you have a full-time job, you got kids, you have to do house renovations because your wife is being mad at you because you haven't done them in like the months that you thought that you were going to do them, and you have all this added stress, and on top of that, your shares just got called away for a massive profit that now you have to do taxes on at the end of the year, and then now your money's just sitting cash, and you're wondering, how the heck do I invest this cash back into the market? How do I do it reliably, responsibly? I just, got my shares called away at a really good price, but I don't want to mess it up, so maybe I'll sit out. But then you have the pressure of you get what I mean? There's a lot of like side effects that go into this sort of decision. So the answer is sometimes. Sometimes you should write cover calls on earnings, and sometimes you shouldn't. And it really just depends on where your goals are. Number one takeaway from this bit right here is, if you sell the cover call, assume that it will be called away and your shares will be taken away from you. You'll be getting a profit, most likely, assuming you know how to write a cover call correctly. And you'll be sitting happy. But again, it comes with the pros and cons. It comes with the pressure of needing to get back in the market, your cash is sitting idle, and all that other burden of your taxes now being due. You got to add this to your taxes now, all that crazy stuff. So another part of this question, because I'm sort of farming for content now, is they mentioned selling in the money cover calls. So not out of the money, but in the money. In the money means that you're selling a cover call that has a very high probability of having your shares be called away. That's the first part of this question that I'd like to emphasize. This second half is on earnings. My sort of opinion on this changes depending on, like, are you just buying the shares to sell the in the money cover call to play earnings? Or do you already have the shares and you're looking to sell the in the money cover call? For example, I think playing earnings just in general is really bad because you add so much variability into earnings being great, earnings being bad, expectations being met, expectations not being set. What is another one? Guidance being good versus guidance being bad. There's so many different factors that go into the stock price going up or down during earnings. It's not worth it to play it. However, if you already have that long stock position and then they have earnings, it might not be a good idea to sell an in-the-money cover call if you feel like that the stock might go down. Granted, again, if the stock trades up or higher, if you sold it in the money cover call, you're gonna get your shares called away, and then comes the tax burden, the pressure of getting your cash back to work, ruining your cost basis. Not technically, not really ruining. You could just always get back in at a good price as well. But you get what I mean. If you buy a stock at $7 and then now the stock's trading at like 900 or something, it's kind of cool to keep your cost basis $7. Just as a homage to the earlier times. So, if you're buying shares just to do the in the money cover call, I think that that's just a bad trade in general. I think it's more responsible than spending like the same amount of money, I think, on say like long out the money calls, because I think the probability of profit on an in the money cover call or in the money buy right, as this type of trade would be called, buying 100 shares and then immediately selling the cover call. I think it's okay. I mean, I think it's not all too bad. I would just hate for someone to get in the habit of doing these and incorporating in their system because they think that it's a good idea and it's, sort of replicable. Good things or good systems, good trading rules allow you to trade predictably, right? Like, you see all these references to people being day traders, and if you're going to trade every day, you got to make things repeatable. Every day can't be a wild card. If you want to be good at doing something every day for the rest of your life, or maybe every weekday minus holidays, then you want to make it so that you're changing very few things at a time if you do need to change something, and that your income or your profits are very predictable. It can't just be like all the time, like, oh, I'm gonna call the top on this, I'm gonna call the bottom on this, I'm gonna call that earnings are be bad, but guidance is good, and therefore this stock will go in this direction. You minimize those guesses that you have to do, because the irrationality of the market is that it's irrational. It's just you can't guess where the market will go with too much conviction, or you're going to get destroyed. But furthermore, you probably shouldn't let someone randomly on the internet, especially on a podcast talking into a microphone, tell you what to do. So if you feel like you want to play earnings, by all means, go ahead. I have the experience under my own belt, and I myself don't play earnings because I know that I am very, 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 very bad at it. I might win some, but I've lost a lot of some before as well. So it's not a good recipe for me, but maybe it could work for you. I highly don't suggest that. I'm just going to be out there and be full-fledged about it. Like, I don't think it's a good idea. But if you think it's a good idea, by all means, go for it. And lastly, here's the thing. I don't think in the money covered calls are bad things. I think that they're actually really good. I've been sort of pushing for those on this Twitch stream a lot, because especially like days like today when it's very red, it pays off really well because you have a very nice cost basis after receiving so much premium on the in the money covered call. It's great. Well, again, I just don't like about this sort of proposal is that it would be during earnings. I would hate for someone to go into earnings with good intentions on trying to profit from an in the money covered call when they should just, you know, try this outside of earnings. You don't need to play earnings. But I think it is better than, say, buying a ton of out the money covered calls that might require the same amount of capital. I don't know. Wall Street Bets has really warped my perception of what's normal and what's not normal. So if you're jaded by Wall Street Bets, what I just said about spending like 40K on options isn't a big deal, or losing 40K. But then if you maybe are a more responsible person just learning about finance and options, you're like, whoa, who in their right mind would buy 40K worth of out the money long calls, you know? So we have all types of listeners on this podcast. And I just say that buy rights are really good. Buying 100 shares and selling the covered call, it's what I've been doing on NVIDIA for the past few months, and it's been working really well. Has a lot of benefits of capturing premium on the way up. And then if it ever corrects like it does today, I feel incredibly safe. And I have 200 shares in NVIDIA being called away this Friday, or today. I don't know why I'm saying this Friday. Getting called away today, or AKA tomorrow on the weekend, early in the morning. And it's going to be pretty good. I'm going to have a good amount of cash readily available for me to start investing in next week. Today was a really red day. I would think that we don't bounce on Monday. We have one more red day. This is just me looking into a crystal ball. Like, this is Oogla Boogla City. This is just gut feeling. I have no technical analysis in this. This is just my gut feeling. I feel like we have a red day Monday, and then maybe like a flat day Tuesday, and then maybe red Wednesday. And then green Thursday, Friday. That's my gut instinct, but maybe I'm wrong on every single one of those, but there I am on a recording. And we'll see if it happens. We're going to get into the outro here. I just want to give a really special thank you to my patrons here. They help pay my bills because I'm taking this full time. You know, I don't have a 9-to-5 job. So huge, huge thank you for helping me keep the lights on and my internet on. I love you guys. Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, Ensis 88, Espresso Bean, EDC, Travella, Desserts, Kevlar 22, Bachata Thug, Cube Suki, Nala, J Perkins 86, Louis BG, Troop 947, T Wall 3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Rustier, The Jester, Grandpa 95, Young Rich, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, K21 Butler, Sumatrix, KJ Martin, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Maestro XC, Banadushi, NC Devman, Thala Collector, Tyler LM97, Lord Skeletor, Major. By the way, thank you, Major, so much for your recent work on the Discord bot. That's such a huge, huge help. Thank you so much. Tecomi, Elmo, Avrillion, RS, Schmitty, Y-Teen, Danube 9000, McFly, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, King Swift 6, Garrix, Loido, LeBoomer, Bearded Savage, Danghai, Samir, Caveman, A Lot of Lift, Andy V, Arfman, Mememe, Vegeta Plank, Can't Make Money, IRL, and Maltman 1856. Dude, this list is long. It's kind of cool, man. So just to give like a little bit of context, when I took this full time, I think my Patreon pre-tax income was about like 870, 880. I don't quite remember what number it was. But now we're at 1.79K. So that's really cool. Very thankful again for everyone that's helping out, support the website, podcast, stream, and just me in general. Very, very, very grateful to be able to do this full time. Thought I'd give a little bit extra oomph in today's outro and not just say the generic outro, because it's been a wild ride. Like, Twitch is now at like 40 people. You know, I hit a peak of like 43 or like in the 40s, like every stream now, which is great. And we're slowly growing, and it's just an amazing feeling that, you know, I'm still getting back what I'm putting in. I'm trying really hard to just show up every day, put the smile on my face. Not that's like a difficult thing to do, because hanging out with the chat is awesome. But trading through everything, especially days like today where it's really red and it's really scary. Crazy, by the way, that usually on red days, there's not that many people. But today, it was very red and there were a lot of people. So I feel like the tide is shifting, where people are understanding like, oh, okay, this is sort of like a cool, safe place to like trade and hang out. Then that's all I could ask for. If you view it as that, you just come in, you don't have to say anything, you can just lurk, you can just chill, just see what the vibes are like. That makes me happy. And the 5K account reached 7K just yesterday. Of course, it took a little bit of a hit today because the market was down. And then the main account crossed 40K yesterday, but of course that took a hit, a 4.5K hit today. But we'll be back, hopefully. You know, don't want to take it for granted, but you know, we'll try to make it back slowly but surely on the Twitch stream. I did a lot of work on the Twitch stream because, you know, we spend, you know, for those that are regular in the Twitch chat, we spend like an hour a day in there. So I'm trying to make it as fun as possible, especially for my subscribers, especially for my patrons that also subscribe to me on Twitch. Insane. It's so much support that, you know, I could never even dream of having, but it's happening. And people, some of my patrons like help me on Patreon and then even sub on Twitch. And it's the coolest thing. Thank you so much. Not taking it for granted. I notice it. I'm like, wow, this person's really going the extra mile to support me. And that feels really cool. But right now on Twitch, you get like a TG badge. It's called a monogram. I don't know if that's like a widely known term, but like just the letter and TG inside a white square. It's very clean. If you're a subscriber next to your chat name, and then on the screen, okay, you get to be a Pokemon. It's nuts. It's nuts. It's crazy. Like, as I'm trading, there's like really cool like Pokemon like moving left and right, like going up ladders and stuff on the stream overlay. You can battle people, you do a battle royale, all that cool stuff. It's really cool. I feel like it's helped a lot of people just stay more, I guess, interested in a stream. I don't know, because at the end of the day, I'm really just trading stocks, and I can see how that could be sort of mundane sometimes. So the Pokemon stuff, I feel like it was a really, really good ad. I like it a lot. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and it just really makes it feel lively, because, you know, it's not like I have someone to bounce off ideas with in real time. It's just based on chat. But if you see Pokemon on the screen and then you see the subscribers also talking with each other, it just feels so lively. It's very cool. On the personal side, on this last Sunday, the very last Sunday, not yesterday because you're listening to this on Monday, but the last Sunday, I tore my knee apart. It was so bad. I was in like a very compromised position in jiu-jitsu, and I moved my leg how I shouldn't have moved it, and my knee, my LCL just like shattered. Of course, it doesn't shatter, but like it tore. I heard it tear. It was so bad, and then like it popped, and then like my leg was just like limpy goosey, and it was so scary. I'm able to walk on it now, but I haven't been able to train as well during class just because, my knee's injured. But your boy gets really cranky if he doesn't go to jiu-jitsu. And it's one of the best forms of exercise, stress relief that I could really ever recommend to anybody. Just number one, coding doesn't beat it. Starting your own venture doesn't beat it. If I had to trade everything for jiu-jitsu, I probably would. I would make $0 from jiu-jitsu, but it does keep me sane enough to do everything and handle all the more stressful parts about owning your own thing and doing your own thing. It's hard to stress about, hey, am I gonna be able to do this full time forever? Because money's a little tight. But if you're getting choked from behind, and getting your arm broken or attempting to be broken, you don't got time to think about that. And it feels really cool. And I'm assuming this isn't just for jiu-jitsu. I think a lot of people feel this way about lifting weights and maybe doing another martial arts or, going to a fitness class. I would highly suggest everyone just to be active. I thought when I was younger, it was just common knowledge and that everyone did it. Because, I would occasionally see older people at the gym sometimes being a younger person. But now I'm starting to realize, dude, not a lot of people stay active. So if you're, I'll just name a number. Like if you're 40 plus and you're running or you're doing jiu-jitsu or you're taking a fitness class, like maybe like once a week or something, you're above 80% threshold, brother or sister or whatever you want to be called. Like you are doing amazing. I think it's really important that you stay active. I see that a lot of that in my stepdad right now, who has beaten diabetes with a very good clean diet, but he is starting to see some very big weight gain fluctuations after beating the or not necessarily the neuropathy, the degeneration of your nervous system, nervous cell. You get tingly hands and you get painful shoots in your arm sometimes because your nerves are dying. But that's the scary stuff about diabetes. But anyway, his weight, he was getting too skinny. That was the thing. But now he's getting he's not fat. He looks almost like he did before, maybe even a bit healthier than before. But this is just like a little abnormal that he's just gaining all this weight. And I think, it's him not being, you get told by your doctor that you reverse your diabetes, you might return to your old habits. And I think that's what's kind of happening. And, it's a challenge trying to convince, someone that just got better, hey, why don't you continue eating boring, boring stuff? You're gaining a little bit of weight. You look great. Don't get me wrong, but maybe don't eat that bag of candy instead. How about that peach instead? It's tricky, very tricky, very a lot easier said than done. But I'm glad to be sort of over the hump of my parents. Scary health. Because, dude, my parents were so sick in 2022. Like, that was just not a good time for like me. That, granted, I showed up, the traded every day, was with the patrons, and we're all trading, we're having a great time. But man, my parents were going through it. It's not like I was going through anything necessarily, because it's my parents going through. Like, my mom was like kind of sad, and my stepdad had diabetes and all that stuff. But They're better now, or much better now, at least. My mom has some bad days still, and my stepdad is, still handling the neuropathy. That doesn't go away really ever. But just managing it better every day. I'm still calling every day, and this is a reminder, that your parents miss you. And if you are fortunate enough where your parents are still alive and you have, a somewhat good connection with them, it might not hurt to, like, I don't know, like, call them every once in a while. And I get it. Sometimes you have parents that ramble. You have parents that, are just don't have great conversation skills. But I've made it a part of my day. I have a Google Calendar now as of someone that's, taking their thing full time. I should manage my time a little bit better. And so I have like a 30-minute block blocked out to call my parents. Of course, I don't spend all 30 minutes talking to my parents, but somewhere in that 30-minute window, I'll have like a 5 to 10 minute conversation on the phone with my parents. And it's just, hey, how's it going? What did you eat today? My mom might have ate like rice and kimchi and some gochujang or some paste. And I asked like, how's the puppy or how's the dog? Because I got my parents a puppy when last time I visited them. They say good and all this stuff. It's basically the same stuff every day, but I am just being more and more aware of that. I don't know. It's not like I'm gonna visit home all the time, so, and this doesn't really take a lot of energy from me to do either. So it's okay. It's okay. I mean, there's some days I don't want to call and I just feel too busy, but then I'm like, wait, what the heck am I thinking? I'm able to do whatever I want the entire day. Of course, I have to spend the day doing smart things in order to make this full-time thing possible. But who am I to say, like, I'm too busy to call my parents for 5 minutes? Like, and I don't have like a job that I despise that I have to be at. Like, I can just literally call them if I want. So that's something that I've been sort of battling with. And so that gets me to call them like every time. If I can hone in on that thought, I'm like, yep, I'm just calling them right now. So yeah, I'll probably call my parents after recording this episode and then scheduling it for Monday's release. I just want to wish everyone a good rest of your week because, again, you're listening to this on Monday. And so, hope good luck this week. I hope last Friday didn't get you. A lot of people might feel like they were over-leveraged, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast episode. Maybe you opened too many of your trade that you thought the market was going to go up. It's a good. That was a very quick, fast, sudden movement down, and it might have scared a few people. I think the main takeaway of today's episode is really, if you sweated on Friday, what can you do today to make you sweat less going forward? Thank you, and I'll see everybody next Monday. Bye-bye.